Hockey talk. Hockey talk. Hockey talk.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, survive.
I got a shout-out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
It is time to talk hockey as we do each and every Friday here on Gresham Fourier. Andy Hart is in for Fourier today. Joining us now on the Harbor One hotline of Nesson and WEEI, our guy Andrew Razor Raycroft. Razor, good morning, friend. How are you?
Good morning, gang. I'm wonderful.
Fourier is sunning himself somewhere.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I figured he had the norovirus or, he was out partying.
No.
He's nude.
No, that's...
He's nude sunbathing somewhere.
Yeah, the norovirus is what Greg Hill is using to maybe not go to Florida this weekend, but that's another story for another time. We love our guy Greg, and hopefully he's feeling okay. But,
yes.
The rare overtime win last night, and it happened lickety-split. I mean, lose the face-off down the other end, two-on-one back the other way. DeBrusk makes it look easy. Psychologically, big to go on the road and get an overtime win, or has all this overtime stuff, Razor, been overblown?
No, I think it feels good. I think it's it's certainly positive. You don't want to keep, overtime. So there's been too many losses in overtime to feel good about it. So it's nice for Linus Ullmark to get an overtime win. It's nice for the team to get one. Psychologically, it doesn't make a difference, I don't think, for this group one way or the other. They know they're not playing 3-on-3 or shootouts in playoffs, but it's just a feel good for the night, feel good for today, and put them, a little bit of a different momentum, a little bit of a different mindset going into tomorrow night's game. But it was good to grind that out last night. Both teams were very average, and it's nice to just win on the road, and especially in Montreal.
Razor, I think we can all agree the Bruins have overachieved to some degree this year to narratives and perceptions coming into the season. I'm wondering if you have a few reasons for that and guys maybe that have overachieved on an individual level. A name I would throw out there for me as sort of a layman hockey outsider is Geeky. I feel like Geeky has been a better player than I expected him to be, especially of late. He's been on a little scoring streak of late. So maybe some names that you think are part of why the Bruins might be higher in the standings than people expected them to be.
Yeah, so, the narrative, of course, was the last season, how great they were, but, Bergeron and Krejci, right? So you're saying, who's going to fill in for these guys? I think, certainly in hindsight, that people maybe not watching all the time didn't really recognize how great team structure this team has. When you have a team with Pasternak, with McAvoy, with Marchand, with the two goaltenders they have, with Hampus Lindholm, you're not losing. There's 25 teams that would love to have that core for the next 7 years, like the Bruins have. And if you do have that kind of a core, you're never going to the bottom. You're never out of the playoff mix. You're always there. So it starts with those guys, and I think that got severely overlooked. And then you go to that second tier, Morgan Geekie's perfect example. The Bruins, the organization, Don Sweeney, his team have done such a good job of recognizing players from other teams that they know can help their team and fit in the structure and fit with the culture and be the character kind of players. Morgan Geekie, Danton Heinen, James Van Riemsdyk, those three guys that come in this season and fit in seamlessly on the cheap when they're up against the cap and how are they going to put a team together, they've recognized and done a wonderful job getting those guys in here.
Our buddy Andrew Raycroft talking Bruins with Gresh and Fourier. Andy Hart in for Fourier today. And Razor, you mentioned Danton Heinen. I know he scored the first goal last night. Has this guy played his way into an extension here?
Well, he's worked his way into some kind of a multi-year deal for next season. And so if the Bruins don't give it to him, he's going to get it somewhere else. I think we've seen that he is very comfortable here in Boston. This is his second go-around. He left and had a decent season in Pittsburgh last season, has let's not say breakout because he's been an NHLer for a while now, but he's looking at 30 to 35 points this season. He's now playing in a top six role, like a perfect complement to Zacha and Pasternak right now. So certainly he's going to have a multi-year NHL deal. I think a fit works for him here in Boston, but that'll be something that gets done in the spring, summer, when the dust really settles and you see how much cap dollars you have and you see what kind of direction you want to go in after what you hope is a long playoff run.
Pretty sure you qualify as an expert witness, a Mona Lisa Vito, in terms of goaltenders and dynamics in that room. I think some of us were wondering or even hoping, speculating that Ullmark would be dealt. He wasn't. He's back. Swayman has become your number one goaltender. He's been a little feisty of late from what I've seen. What do you think the dynamic is in that room, in that situation heading into the postseason?
I think it's fine. I don't think any of that has changed in the room. I think, they compete very hard against each other. They feel very comfortable competing with each other. They are genuinely happy when the other guy plays well, and it also fires them to be ready to go on that rotation. So I don't see how that's changed. I think both guys want the net. I think both guys want game one. I don't think that's been determined yet, and it'll be interesting how that plays out over the net. But they've got basically 8-7 starts each to prove and to work their game and be ready to go. And I think they both realize that they have to win a playoff series. This will be the third year now with the two of them together as partners. And, right now they have 2 Game 7 losses on their card. So I think they know that they have to go on a run, and I think they know that both of them will be instrumental in that happening.
Not knowing who the game one starter is, if that's accurate, if that's where they are as an organization coming down the home stretch here, is that a concern? I mean, we certainly look back at last year and would say maybe the goalie situation got mismanaged, and that was part of the reason you had one of the great upsets in hockey history. Is that a problem? Does somebody need to know? Does that affect things? I know in baseball, we need to know who our ace is. We need to know who our closer is. Guys need to know their roles. So you don't believe that's a problem, that they may not know who their game one goalie is right now?
No, I don't. I don't think that at all. I think there's teams that have that problem, but because they don't have good goaltending. Like the Toronto Maple Leafs, let's say. They don't know. They have three guys. They don't know who their game one is, and that's probably against the Boston Bruins. They don't know who their starter is. The Philadelphia Flyers, they don't know who their starter is. Like, but that's because they don't have good goaltending. The Bruins, it's the exact opposite. So, no, these guys, the players, the coaches, the goaltenders themselves, aren't laser-focused on who's game one because they have good goaltending. And someone's going to go in. And listen, you have to do it, right? Like, that's the other – you do have to close it out, but that happens only on April 20th to April 30th. You can't do anything about that right now. All you know is you have good goaltending, and goaltending that is more than capable of winning game one, game two, and getting four of those in the first round.
Johnny Beecher's been great on the dot this year. A, how important is that to this team? And B, how have you seen Beecher get better this season?
Well, he came back after being in the minors for the last 2 months. Last night, he looked good. He won 8 of 11 draws last night. So a good re-promotion for him. He's got to stay consistent in that. He's got to be physical. He's got to be hard to play against. And of course the face-off will be a reason for him to be here. If he can continue to pace at over 55% that he has, but you have to do more. You can't just go out there and play and be a face-off guy. You have to kill penalties and get out of the defensive zone, and he has to continue to prove that as a young person that he can do that and handle that job. So the face-off's giving him a bit of an in right now in that we've seen the struggles on some of the draws late in periods, late in games, and he might be the cure to that. But you have to play a hard 5-on-5 game, and I thought he did so last night in his first game back. It's all about, repeating and doing it against the higher-end teams in the Eastern Conference, not just the Montreal Canadiens.
So the Bruins own the Maple Leafs. And my world, football world, division potential playoff game where you say, it's hard to beat a division opponent three times when you go into some wild card matchup. which I've never understood. I always want to be the team that's won more often because I feel like that means I'm the better team. But do the Bruins just own the Maple Leafs? Is there any trepidation like that the dominance could run out or that the pendulum is due to shift if that's a playoff matchup?
No, I think the matchup's really good. I agree with you in the football analogy. I'd rather be the team that's 2-0 rather than 0-2 going in. Like, it's just like it's the same as the worst lead in hockey is a 2-goal lead. No, the worst lead is a 1-goal lead. Like, let's call it. Let's be real about this. So I think because the Bruins have won games because they match up very well. It hasn't been the Bruins have been winning games because they've gotten lucky and because their goalies have stood on their heads or because Toronto's goalie, like, it's because the Bruins' structure defensively allows them to gain offense against Toronto in that Toronto can be undisciplined. They can push too hard offensively. Things open up, and then the power play's been good as well on the Leafs PK. So the matchup's very good. It's not like the Bruins are going to sweep the Leafs 4 straight. But I think over a 7-game series, they feel comfortable that their players and their style matches up well against the Toronto Maple Leaf team.
Andrew Razor Raycroft with Gresham Fauria. We've got Andy Hart in for Fauria today. Razor,
questions are so much better today, by the way, without Fauria.
Oh, yeah.
We're cruising along here. We're staying on point. Fauria is not distracting us.
Yeah, there's no odd questions about jock straps or sharpening skates or, you know.
Have one. The Maple Leafs goalie situation you brought up. I watched that game a few weeks ago, and I say, is there a better name to have for a goalie than Wall? Like, that's the perfect goalie name.
Yeah, old Stoney, right?
Exactly.
Stonewall. Exactly. The whole thing.
A little bit later, we're going to do the names of the year in college basketball.
Uh-oh, we may get in FCC trouble.
Oh, yeah. It's very good stuff. Razor, the Bruins are a point behind Florida for the lead in the Atlantic Division. Florida has a game in hand. I will steal the Fauria segment that he created. Big deal or no big deal, if the Bruins do or do not win the division, how do you view that? Is it important for the Bees to be that number one team and win the Atlantic?
I don't believe it is, no. I don't, and I know that they're not setting their sights on it. I'm very interested in the 2 games they have against Florida still. Those will be very interesting games, should be a lot of intensity. We've seen it, right? We saw it last year. Like, it's so easy to go with these cliches that are actually real in hockey. They might not pertain to other sports, like basketball especially, where essentially the first round, the best players, the best team's the best team. In hockey, it's not. It just isn't. You have to get in, and any team's going to be difficult. Right now, whether it's the New York Islanders or the Tampa Bay Lightning, those 2 teams are going to be very formidable in a first round for whoever the 1 seed is and whoever the 2 seed is. So I think we just talked about the matchup Toronto presents. Either way, you have home ice in the first round. I think that's beneficial. It would be nice for them to win the division just because that was so unexpected to start this season. But if they end up, coming up a couple points short on Florida, they're not going to be too they're not going to think about that for more than 10 seconds at the end of the season, and they'll be ready for whoever they have to play.
Speaking of thinking of things more than 10 seconds, does the fact that the Panthers went on a run in the postseason last year to the Cup Finals and then this year have, the best points in hockey right now, does that take any of the sting out of that falling on your face in the first round last year, or is that just me trying to put lipstick on a pig?
No, I think it should to a point. I'm not abstaining them in any way, but I think hopefully everyone can recognize that this team really wasn't an 8 seed last year. They had so many injuries. Like, it wasn't a typical 8 seed. It wasn't a team. They were the President Cup or President Trophy winners the year before.
Right.
So essentially, they won the President's Trophy 2 years ago. Last year, they went on a run at the end of the season again and went to the Stanley Cup Finals. And then this year, they could win the President's Trophy again. So in that line of questioning, you could talk it away. The issue for me is the Bruins were up 3-1 in the series. That's the issue for me. They had a power play in Game 5. They were in overtime in Game 5. They had a lead in the last 10 minutes in both Game 6 and Game 7. That's where it's hard to talk it away. So Florida wins the series. I think that could have happened no matter how many points the Bruins had last season. But being up 3-1 and having leads in 5, 6, and 7, that's kind of the kicker.
Razor, is there anything else in the league that is piquing your interest right now, whether it is a divisional race, a battle for playing time somewhere, maybe with a young kid that could make a big difference? Like, I know we focus so much on the Bruins, and it's been such a great season, and they're a point behind Florida, okay, fine, but is there anything else in the Eastern Conference that you're keeping your eye on here over the next month, let's say?
It's especially the playoff race at the bottom. It got tight. It looked 3 weeks ago that Detroit was going to get in with Tampa Bay. Detroit's reeled off 7 losses. Islanders have jumped Detroit. Washington's hanging around still. Philadelphia's in the 3 spot that's kind of fighting that they could drop all the way out of the 3 spot in the Metro, all the way out of the playoffs. So the playoff race is going to be really exciting here over the last 15 games for these teams. And it will pertain, it could pertain to the Bruins and who they're playing. Because I think that Florida's gone on a long run. They're going to have tough games. They lost last night to Carolina 4-0. That hasn't happened to them too often recently. So I think the Bruins are going to be in a battle with Florida all the way to the end, and that's going to make the playoffs at the bottom interesting as well. So that's kind of where I'm looking out in the West. The Central Division is Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg. 3 of the best teams over there are all fighting. That division, you want to be first place, because otherwise you're playing one of the best teams in the league in the first round. That 1-2, the 2-3 in the Central is going to be ridiculously hard to play. So that's like a race where you want to be number one out there. So those are my 2 things I'm really kind of keying in on outside of the Bruins here for the last 4 weeks of the year.
All right, so channeling my inner Fourier and asking the most notable hockey guy I know a random question about equipment, I've watched a couple high school hockey games this year.
Good Lord.
Where these freaking skates that I know parents pay through the nose to get, the blade just like pops off mid-game, and you got this kid like squirming across the ice to try to get to the bench while there's like this piece of metal just flying. Like, what the hell's going on with these skates?
Well, the skates now, you pop the blade out, you can change them in and out. Now, the issue is with the high school kids and even the minor hockey kids, and hopefully no one is listening takes offense to this, but the parents have gone off the rails a little bit. You can't imagine, right, that minor sport parents are crazy and have gone a little too crazy. Like, I know that's hard to believe. But they're acting like they're kids in the NHL, and the high school kids are acting like they're in the NHL, and they're changing their blades in and out period to period, or they don't like the way one sharp and they have like 3 extra sets of blades, and they're messing it up, and they're not putting them in properly, and they're flying out. And, again, keep it simple. You're not in the NHL. You don't have NHL-type equipment managers fixing it. So you see the guys moving them in and out. They have the best gear. And it's not the same kind of gear that you guys have. So just sharpen your skates every game and go out and play hockey.
There you go. Great advice from our guy, Andrew Raycroft, with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Razor, thanks a bunch. Hopefully you enjoyed it much better than the last couple of... that's what I figured. That is what I figured, friend. Have a great weekend. See ya.
Yeah, you guys too. Thanks for having me. Bye. And-